Hi, I'm Ruthie,
and I have a recorder.
Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and need a sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-Bud too. But give me my rocket bicycle for two. Yes, it's Wednesday. Today is November 16th.
And we're live.
Yes, Dwayne Rainey's in the studio with me today. Dwayne, host of My Generation on Fridays.
My Generation 2 to 4 every Friday. Tune in.
If you want to hear some music instead of all this talk from out there.
Yeah. It sounds like you're sticking people up. My name is Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Talking about not stick them up, but this is Pledge Drive Week.
Hand it over. No.
She's got a recorder, folks.
Yeah, I think the recorded PSA mentioned you can call in at 585-1033, or you can also call in the other studio line number.
Don't make me run.
The other phone is in the other room, and Dwayne is versatile, and he can answer the phone in the studio, or he can answer the phone in the other room. So you can call 584-1160 to make a pledge, or 585-1033. And thanks to all the people who've already pledged. We also have special
gifts,
yeah, for people that make a pledge. What are some of those, Dwayne?
We got Valley Free Radio t-shirts and a $20 pledge. We also have, let's see, Elvis Presley, The Wonder of You, Pink Floyd, The Early Years. These are all CDs with a minimum of $15 donation. Willie Nelson for the Good Times. Let's see, Van Morrison. There's not many. There's only three of those left, so you better call in quick.
All right, great. Well, there's more, and I'll have some special concocted gifts that might involve bikes and trailers and trailer rides and pedicab rides and things like that.
Special thanks to Alex Jarrett.
Thanks to Alex Jarrett for his $20 donation.
And every donation will be matched by the endowment. An additional $10 for every donation made, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, from the David Dow Fund. So that's like a $30 donation, Alex.
Thanks.
All right. So today's show, I've actually been out of town for too long.
Do you have any interesting stories from your trip?
Yeah, so like, I was...
You know, firefighters or...
Oh, yeah. So I was in Kentucky visiting my family for most of the 4 weeks, and it was smoky. I'm telling you, there was all these wildfires. Actually, on election day, it was so smoky I couldn't see more than like a couple hundred yards. This is in rural southeastern Kentucky, the Pine Mountains. It's like all these fires, and like you couldn't even really tell where the smoke was coming from. It was just settled in the valley, and I tried to take a hike up the mountain to see where it was coming from, but
couldn't make it through the smoke.
I couldn't really breathe either. It was a problem.
But then the helicopters came.
Yeah, well, the National Guard was trying to fight fires with the helicopters and buckets of water. And I heard, according to our next door neighbor, that over in Letcher County, a couple counties over where the National Guard was dumping water, see, they were dipping from ponds and creeks and stuff and pouring water. And they were pouring water on this one forest fire
area.
And one of the firefighters down below nearly got killed when they dumped the bucket of water and a turtle smashed his helmet and knocked him out.
Oh, it didn't kill him?
No, it knocked him out, and apparently they took him to the hospital.
How
I think
was the
he
turtle?
Was okay. I think the turtle was, that's, I imagine it was,
DOA?
Didn't survive.
Soup?
But, it's not, yeah. Anyway, it was more than so so many ways that fire hazards.
Take an umbrella next time you want to fight a fire.
I feel like it should play a Smokey Bear PSA now or something. Yeah, the arson and all just made me think of
Smokey's friends don't play with matches.
Yeah. So anyway, I still
no, am only
concerned.
You can prevent forest fires.
Anyway, I'm still concerned about my family there. My dad emailed me yesterday and said that school, my niece and nephew's elementary school, was on a smoke delay, but he doubted that they'd go to school at all because the smoke was so thick. He said he couldn't even see the edge of the porch. So I don't know what all the animals are doing. And hopefully it'll rain. It'll rain. All right. What else do I have?
Let's get that phone ringing.
585-1033.
Give me your radius cramp.
So for today's show, I felt really isolated a lot when I was in Kentucky, and I wasn't very motivated to go around interviewing people.
Didn't stick anyone up?
No. I did ask my friend Melissa. I have very few friends there since I left, but one of my old friends from elementary school, I asked Melissa what she thought about the election. This is a few days after the election. This is in a county. This is Bell County, Kentucky, yeah, where 80% of the votes went for Donald Trump.
The red state.
All right. This is what Melissa had to say, and her friend Jerry was there, too.
All right, dogs. Any thoughts on the election?
Oh, Melissa's four dogs.
How about you, Melissa?
Oh, I would rather have seen anybody else win besides... I didn't like either candidate. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both have some bad issues that I don't like. Mm-hmm. And we need a regular poor person to be president, mm-hmm, in order to figure out what most of the country needs. Mm-hmm. Because a billionaire or millionaire is not going to know what a little person from Frakes, Kentucky is going to be needing. Or Clinton ain't going to know what the county of Bell County, Kentucky is going to need. I mean, we are the farthest thing from their mind. They don't even know we exist, more than likely. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we need someone in there with old-fashioned ideas that has moral value and that will actually do something for the people that exist in rural America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I come down here from Massachusetts, and it's just, like, such a different world. It's not as it's hard to explain.
You all talk like that up there, too. Massachusetts, Wisconsin, and all that.
Yeah, we're a bunch of Yankees, can't help it. But just, like, it's just sometimes so hard to explain the difference.
Oh, yeah, it's a totally different world, because I didn't grow up here. I'm from Ohio.
Uh-huh. But just, like, there, just so much stuff is accessible. And, like, here...
You have to go 20 miles in order to get a cell phone service.
Yeah, or just resources, like social resources, human capital, like education, mm-hmm, there, that people just kind of take for granted. It just seems so difficult here sometimes.
Yep. I mean, we have to go 30 miles away in order to get to our closest Walmart or, mm-hmm, closest cheap grocery store.
What do you think, Jerry? Your thoughts?
I don't really care for two candidates. I'd rather see Sarah Palin as president, and she's a friggin' moron.
That's saying something. All right. That's your political commentary from Jerry.
Tone down.
All right. That's from... That's the depth of my political reporting from southeastern Kentucky.
Yeah, Sarah Palin is going to be on, like, a Donald Trump's team somewhere, cabinet somewhere. I don't know. Great.
All right. Here's a couple minutes of more post-election recordings. This is from the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, from Pastor Chris Weiss.
As Leonard Cohen once wrote, a singer-songwriter of blessed memory, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There is a crack in our country. There is a crack in our politics. There is a crack in our nation. So let us recommit to the word and say that's where we're going to let the light come in. Where there is darkness, we will bring light. I also think it's important to state that many people who are voting people into office, they're trying to vote people into office to change things that governments are powerless to change. Technology and transportation have made the world grow smaller, and so we are going to live in a more diverse country in terms of race,
going to change that because these are forces bigger than government. No election is going to change the fact that more women than men are enrolling in colleges and universities today, which means more women than men are going to be entering into the jobs of the future instead of just mourning the loss of the jobs of the past, which means more women are going to be in positions of leadership in the future. An election can decide who sits on the Supreme Court, but no election can decide who you love. No election can decide who will be your partner for life. No election can decide what your family is going to look at. There are politicians who seek to be able to suck up all the oxygen in the room, but we the people are an unstoppable force for change whenever we are yearning to breathe free. The words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, that famous Unitarian minister and nature essayist, who said to people, go where freedom is not, and say, I am for it. May we each find the strength to continue living. For some of us, our bodies have been battlegrounds for too long. For some of us, we need to be resilient in the face of hatred, bigotry, and violence. Now is the time to come together. Now is the time to come together.
Those were a few words from the Reverend Chris Boyce from the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church.
So much for separation of church and state.
Well, they call them, well.
Hallelujah.
The state has to stay separate from the church, but the church, I don't know how this works.
It doesn't work. That's what happens, is it doesn't work.
Okay, here's a little interlude from, here's an auction singer from Middlesbrough, Kentucky, from Stone Real Estate, I think is where it's from.
Is anybody interested in bidding on the box of jeans, or good jeans? They're all clean jeans. I take them to the laundromat and keep them washed when I haul them around sale. $5? $5 bid you go for $7.95. $5 bid you want a $7.95, $7.95, anywhere. $5 bid you get a $7.95, $7.95. Anywhere, $5 bid you give $6. $5 bid you woman six anywhere, give $6, $6 to go anywhere. $5 bid you give $6 anywhere. $5 bid you give $6. $5.95 bid you give $6. $6 bid you give $5. $6, $6.95 bid you give a $7. $7 bid you go high. $7 bid you woman high, anywhere. $7 bid you go high. $7 bid you go high, anywhere. Last call. $7 bid you give a high. $7.95 bid you give $8. $12 bid you give $14 anywhere. $12 bid you give $14 anywhere. $12 bid you give $14 anywhere. $12 bid you give $14. $12, $2, $2, $2.
All right, Dwayne, I was hoping maybe you could do some auction singing to raise some money for Valley Free Radio.
You know, I would hate to get into an argument with that woman.
She knows what she's doing.
Talk about never getting a word in edgewise. So, yeah, Elvis Presley, we got some CDs, we got shirts.
Yeah,
we have three River Valley Market $5 gift card.
Yeah, hang on. While you're doing that, just let me mention. So, yeah, we're raising money for the radio station today. You can call in 585-1033 or 584-1160 to make a pledge.
You tell me start talking, I'm going to start talking. We got Willie Nelson, Mary White in the O-Tones, Lou DeLong, Signatures of Sound 20th Anniversary CD, Van Morrison, Amy Herrera. Those are just a few of the CDs we have. We also have, and those are $15 pledge, which will be matched by the Dow Studio, an additional $10. So that would be a total of $25 to the radio station. And we have Valley Free Radio T-shirts. They're a $20 donation. Give us a size. We're ready for anybody because it goes all the way from kids to 3XL.
All right.
Get one for Santa.
585-1033, or you can donate online at valleyfreeradio.org.
Thanks. Get the phone ringing.
Yeah. Thanks to Julie Rozier for her $10 pledge. Make that $20. Thanks to David Dow.
$20.
All right.
So we got 50 so far in this show.
All right.
Get the phone ringing.
I'm aiming for 100.
Give me Raiders cramp.
All right. So the next clip I'm going to play is... This is from my friend Carolyn Griffith, who lives in St. Louis and is part of a collection of Catholic worker houses in St. Louis. She moved there with her husband at the time in, I want to say, like around 2000. I think she's been there about 15 years. And talks a little bit about her experience with race relations there.
Yeah, so you were telling me earlier, Carolyn, about the ways the people in your community that was mostly white got more involved in anti-racism work and how that looked.
Yeah, I was living in a white intentional community in North St. Louis, which is a largely black neighborhood. Actually, it's been such a redlined neighborhood that very few white people have lived up here. It was an intentional community really based on service, and we did a lot of service to homeless people, and there was always that kind of dynamic of it being mostly white people serving mostly people of color. And just about a year before the shooting of Mike Brown, we just started to look at our lives and the dynamics of how we were participating in our neighborhood and be like, we got to look at racism, and we got to make that a core value rather than like a peripheral value, because it was always a value, but it wasn't like primary. Mm-hmm. And we started to notice if it wasn't primary, then it didn't really have any impact, because there would always be other things like whatever, radical simplicity or nonviolence that would trump it. Anyhow, what we did is, we went through this curriculum called Witnessing Whiteness. And as a community, we like dedicated our community meetings to going through this curriculum. And it's a very heart-searching book, and talking with one another about what it meant to us. And it made us look at our lives and our values and just our social lives, all of our lives, like how white they were and what we placed most value on and why our lives ended up looking how they did. And even as we were reading the book, we were all getting a little uncomfortable because here we are still a bunch of group of white people reading the book. Mm-hmm. We at the same time, we were all taking steps to build our relationships with our neighbors, with Black-led organizations. And then all of a sudden, Mike Brown happened. That tragic murder. And St. Louis was on fire. The landscape of St. Louis changed. And we all felt called to get involved in ways that we probably couldn't have had we not been prepared. Had we not started studying a year before, we would have all engaged quite differently. We would have engaged in white affinity groups, probably. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining. But instead, we all used the recommendations of the book and that we had been, the conclusions we had been coming to on our own of wanting to be agents of change in the white community and educators in the white community and build our relationships there. I started leading a workshop on whiteness, and it was profound for me. Mm-hmm. We started leading Racism 101 workshops and organizations like churches because everyone was asking good questions because of the movement. Mm-hmm. But more than that, or as much as that, we started noticing organizations that were doing amazing social change work that we could have been a part of all along. Mm-hmm. Like the Organization for Black Struggle, particularly, was this amazing radical Black-led organization. Why I didn't join it when I first moved to St. Louis, I don't know. I got involved in radical social change stuff that was white. Mm-hmm. And it was out of my comfort zone, probably. But all of our comfort zones had changed. I don't think that's true, actually. We all began to value getting out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. And so we all got involved in different organizations, Black-led activist organizations. Some got involved also in the Anti-Racist Collective, which is a group of whites working internally on their own racism and acting as ally, like an ally group or with an accountability relationship to organizations like the Organization for Black Struggle. So that's what happened. And it changed all of our lives, and all of us are still friends. But we're not living in a white, where none of us are living in a white intentional community anymore. Mm-hmm. All of us are embedded in the city of St. Louis, being people that have come to be parts of organizations that are led, you know, really, because we live in the Black community, so organizations that are led by the Black community, and we've learned to show up as learners, often outside of our comfort zone, and it's been really rich. So that's our story. This is speaking from a project in North St. Louis.
Awesome, thank you. Any books you want to recommend?
Yeah, there are two. The first is Witnessing Whiteness, which is like has a whole curriculum, and it is so thought-provoking. A lot of people I'm connected with have gone through it two or three times. I've been through it two times and then have gone on to teach it to others. It's almost like a movement of white people noticing what is even whiteness and how does that play out in our relationships with people of color. It's especially important for people that are social change agents or people inclined to doing service work. The book is wonderful. And then the other one that I would recommend to people in my family and to book clubs is Waking Up White. It's an easy and beautiful read, and also kind of heart-wrenching because many of us see a lot of ourselves in it, yeah, in that book. But I really recommend it.
Yeah. I started a couple pages, and I didn't want to put it down, but I have to leave for the bus, so thank you so much for giving it to me for my bus ride.
Yeah, enjoy it. Maybe it'll play out on the bus ride as you're reading it. You know, you'll have lots of opportunities to think about race and class.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was an interview with my friend Carolyn Griffith from the Catholic Worker in St. Louis, Missouri. I visited her in October. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And if you'd like to support the radio station, this week is Fun Drive Week. We're taking pledges over the phone right now or online.
And we got a lucky caller as we're speaking. Stay on the line.
Take it, Dwayne. Thank you for calling.
Lick me
call
up.
585-1033 in just a minute. Hang on, let me turn off your speaker, your mic. It's so exciting. So you can call 585-1033 or you can donate online. And we also have some gifts you can get. I'm giving away pedal people rides or trailer rides. If you want more details on that later. I was just going to say a few more things about that interview with Carolyn. One of the books she recommended is called Waking Up White by Debbie Irving. And I was reading that. I was just going to read like a couple of clips from it. Here's one, page 54. The author's quoting a black woman that was doing a workshop. She says, "All racial groups have problems with people in other racial groups. White folks haven't cornered the market on that. The difference between white folks and everybody else is that they have the power to turn those feelings into policy, law, and practice. White folks run everything in this country." All right, so then there's another two paragraphs I'd like to read from that book. The author is talking about a workshop led by Crossroads Anti-Racism Organizing and Training. The facilitator asked for a white person who'd taken out a loan recently to describe the process. The woman who volunteered spoke about filling out a form while chatting with a banker, giving some references, being thanked for her business, and being approved within a couple of days. The facilitator looked around the room and asked, "Sounds like what you've experienced, white folks?" White heads, mine included, nodded. "This sounded like the loan process to me." She then asked for someone from a racial group other than white to volunteer to share a recent loan application story. The black woman who volunteered stood and described this. I don't just fill out a form. I fill out form after form. Documentation this and documentation that. There's no chit-chat. She turned to the room. Chit-chat? What, are y'all kidding me? The room filled with laughter, temporarily breaking the tension. No one thanks me, that's for sure. More like, I can't guarantee the outcome here, ma'am, she said, mocking the cold tone of a bureaucrat holding a customer at arm's length. Then, it takes weeks, sometimes months, for the loan to get approved. That's what it looks like in my world, she concluded, sitting down, while the black and brown workshop participants nodded their heads in silent recognition. The facilitator let us sit there for a few minutes, with the white people quietly taking in the alternate universe we just heard described. That's from Waking Up White by Debbie Irving. And I have the book. If you want to borrow it, let me know. Email me, Ruthie, R-U-T-H-Y, at pedalpeople.coop. And you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Also, you can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. And okay, so the next piece I have is, this is from Mount Moriah Baptist Church, Middlesbrough, Kentucky. I got 10 minutes of the sermon by Reverend Samuel Wansley. We are talking about money today.
Jesus told that rich man, says, sell what you have and give it to the poor. Give my money to the poor. Please. Sell my stuff and give my money to the poor. I don't want to give my money to the government who give it to a portion of it to the poor. Why would I give it to the poor? Right? That's what the rich is saying, right? All of them are saying, I don't want to even give my money to the government who has allowed a certain amount to provide for the poor. Why would I give it to the poor? As a matter of fact, I want to stop giving my hard-earned tax dollars altogether. Cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, cut Obamacare. Let me keep mine and the poor take care of themselves. Right? You know, the rich always run the government. And they have always provided loopholes that allow the rich to keep all their money and pay no taxes. Money that could be going to help the poor. But paying taxes is smart, right? That's what somebody said. Say you're smart when you don't pay taxes, right? The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. Had a good friend of mine who happened to be a millionaire, and when he started making all that money, he once said that, I don't have time to go to church, man. I've got to be about making that money. Well, he did. He made a lot of money. And he got rich. He bought all these toys and everything, and he made so much money until the other rich folks put their eye on him and found out how he was making his money. And next thing you know, he was in jail because he made the classic mistake of not paying them their fair share. As long as you're paying them, they're going to leave you alone, amen? You know, it's called taxes. Because when you cease to pay the rich their portion, then they put the microscope on you. And they put the microscope on my buddy. The next thing you know, he was in federal penitentiary. But can you blame the rich for wanting to hold on to their money?
No.
Nah. Who, somebody back there already said that, right? It's extremely difficult to have riches and not love being rich. Now, I've never been rich, so I don't know, I'm just guessing it. I had a friend who was rich, and I knew that brother loved being rich. Right? But the problems come when they start to believe that their riches is what makes them happy and bring them joy, so I can depend on my things more than depending on my God. Right? They put their trust in their wealth rather than putting their trust in their God. I put my trust in my things rather than putting my trust in the Creator of all things. Right? I start to believe in myself because of the way that I obtained my wealth. If I got my wealth through fraud, if I got my money through deceit, if I got my money through illegal gains, then I'm persuaded a lot of times to believe in myself and not to believe in God. That's why I say that the poor are nearer to the kingdom of God than the rich, simply because of the circumstances. Yeah. When you have very little money, you lean and depend on the provider. You lean and depend on God to bless you, right? So the poor can see the vanity in depending on things for their deliverance, and instead they look to God to provide a way. Amen. And the rich tend to think that they did it all by themselves. Right? The most difficult thing for the rich to do is to make good of the wealth that God has given them to bless others with. You hear me? The most difficult thing that they have to do is to make use of the wealth that God has blessed them with in order to bless somebody else. One thing they don't seem to understand is that they are not the owner of their riches, but they are just stewards of the money that God has blessed them with. That makes sense?
Yes.
And we just read that God said, that the Lord said, in order to be perfect, what? Sell what you got and give to the poor. So those who have been blessed with these wealth and these riches and all this money have been blessed so that they can do something for others who are less fortunate than themselves.
Yes.
See, so all that money you got stored up on those mattresses at home? And those top dresser drawers and stuff. Take some of it out and help somebody out. Help somebody out. Then, verse 23 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it's harder for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Giving up your money is hard. You ever pinch off your money when the collection plate comes around? Yeah. Your mind says, give one thing, and you're looking at no. It's hard to give up that dollar. I give up that Washington, but I'm not going to give up that Lincoln. I'm sure I'm not going to give up that Andrew Jackson. Why is it so hard to give when the Bible tells us to give to the poor in order to be perfect, right? If he had said, well, instead of giving your money to the poor, I want you to start a business, that'd be pretty easy, right? Instead of giving your money to the poor, I want you to put something away for your child's education. That would be pretty easy as well. Instead of giving your money to the poor, I want you to add a room onto your house or buy your husband that new truck he wants. That'd be pretty easy. But to give it away to the poor? If he had said, take that money and invest it in a business where you can provide jobs for somebody, the man may have taken it a little bit better, but he said, give it away. No. No, Jesus, that's not happening. And he walked away sad. There's a jewelry store in London, it's called Lord's Jewelry. And it had thousands of beautiful gems on display. And some of them were reasonably priced, and others were very expensive. But one stone in particular had more prize than all the others. It was a flawless pearl. It was so beautiful that it was displayed in its own specially designed case. And the jeweler put it at the front of the store so everybody would see it. And people from all over the world would travel to Lord's Jewelry just to gaze upon this particular pearl because of its amazing beauty. And of course, everybody wondered about the value of the pearl. No price tag was on it. You know how to back away from stuff when you don't see a price tag, amen? we look at stuff and my wife said, no price tag is on. I said, let's keep walking. No price tag was on this pearl, and most people couldn't afford it anyway, so they didn't even bother asking how much it was. But occasionally, somebody would inquire about the price of the pearl, and the owner of the store would always answer, it will cost you everything you own. Yeah, that was a high price. And those who even hoped to add that pearl to their collection always went away disappointed because the cost was simply too high. Well, One day a homeless man came into the store to escape the bad weather outside, and he noticed the pearl on the display case, and he, just like everybody else, was fascinated by it. Couldn't take his eyes off it. And after a while, he approached the owner of the store, and he asked about the cost of the pearl. And he received the same answer as everybody else. It's going to cost you everything that you own. The homeless man didn't own much. But he wasn't even shocked by the price. But he didn't leave the store. He continued to gaze at the pearl, and the more he looked at it, the more he wanted to have it. And finally, he took off his overcoat, and he put it in the shopping cart. He took off his shirt, and he put it in the shopping cart. He took off his shoes, that had holes in them, and his socks, and he put them in the shopping cart, and then he offered it to the owner of the jewelry store for the pearl, and the owner said, "Take it, it's yours." Without the slightest hesitation, the jeweler unlocked the case and he gave the magnificent pearl to its new owner. See, when Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, he wasn't kidding. The pearl of great price costs everything that you have. And the more you have, the more it's going to cost you. That's why Jesus warns us against acquiring too much money and too many possessions, because we make the mistake of valuing our possession more than we value the kingdom of God. This rich man valued his possession more than he valued the kingdom.
That's Reverend Samuel Wansley from Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Middlesboro, Kentucky. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring.
And I'm Dwayne Rainey.
We're collecting your pledges today. Thanks
to Kat Berry from Florence. Thank you for your $10 pledge. She's late to work, so it was our show that did it, boss. So
flattery.
Please cut her
Thanks,
some
Kat.
Husk. She said she just couldn't get away. So, hey, there's a plausible excuse. And donating to a good cause, too. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, feel free to call 585-1033 if you want to support the radio station.
Give me writer's cramp, please.
you can also listen to Valley Free Radio at valleyfreeradio.org, streaming online, or you can donate or find the program schedule, find ways to become involved with the station, do like some like thing or something on Facebook. What else? Let's see. You know what? We're going to take a little musical break here.
Music.
And hear from Aloe Black.
Same.
Share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me? Well, I don't know. it's inside the bottle. Maybe it's inside the bottle. I had some good old buddies, names is whiskey and wine. Hey, hey. And for my good old buddies, I spent my last dime. Hey, hey. Now wine is good to me. You help me pass the time. And my good old buddy whiskey keep me warm in sunshine. Hey, hey. Your mama may have blessed the child that's got his own. Hey, hey. If God has plans for me, I hope it ain't written in stone. Hey, hey. Because I've been working, working myself down to the bone. And I swear on Grandpa's grave, I'll be paid when I come home. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you,
thank you, Allo Black.
I should go downtown Northampton with that song on a boombox. I may not have the lyrics down, but I got the hey, hey down.
Hi, this is Wendy, and I'm a volunteer programmer here at Valley Free Radio. My show, Subculture, can be heard Friday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. and features new wave, electronic, indie, and dance music. Not only do I volunteer at Valley Free Radio, but I also love listening to the many different programs we offer. We play everything from locally produced music shows to nationally syndicated news talk shows. I love being a part of the Valley Free Radio community experience, and I hope you do too. In order to bring you all of this great programming, we rely on the support of listeners like you. Please pledge today at valleyfreeradio.org. That's valleyfreeradio.org.
Join me, Dwayne Rennie, every Friday from 2 to 4. The Rock Down Memory Lane with music from the 70s. Only here on Valley Free Radio.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue.
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
Yes, Dwayne.
Thanks for enacting my PTSD from the soundboard. Play my show promo. I'm like, oh no, I messed up. It's like, oh, she's got the show, not me.
Yeah, that's Dwayne's show on
you
Fridays.
Wait, you wait. You're here on Friday? I'm going to do that to you. I thought I messed up and she's got the soundboard. Mm-hmm. But hey, it's Pledge Drive week and this phone is not letting up too much. Let's get it lit up. We have some great CDs. We have some great t-shirts. Let's see, CDs. You got Van Morrison, Ellen Jewell, Willie Nelson.
Wait, let me mention the number, 585-1033.
And the other one?
Oh, and the other one in the other room is 584-1160.
We got some CDs from like winter, just and only one. So if you want it, you better act quick. From like Miss Tess, Crooked Still, Corin Raymond, The Paper Boys, Patty Larkin, CD signed, and Bob Woodruff. Those are all just single CDs that we have.
So if people don't want CDs, we know we have some other things. How about a flute lesson, an hour-long flute lesson from Alex Jarrett?
Oh, no.
Irish flute.
Is there a difference?
Or tin whistle.
Tin whistle?
Yeah, I think there's like, what is there, like orchestra flute or something? I'm not.
What about the one I got? The little white thing. I can't. Maybe I need that lesson. Alex.
Oh, the recorder. Recorder. Yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah, I'm sure he can do a recorder or a tin whistle. I mean, tin whistle. Yeah, tin whistle. How about penny whistle. That's it. Penny whistle. Sorry, I'm not very musical. Oh,
is that like what they do on a ship?
I don't know. I know when I was.
How about dog whistle?
Whatever. Any kind of whistle. Alex knows his wind instruments. I bet you could also get a clarinet lesson from Clarissa. I'll offer that for my other housemate.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Or I brought home some shotgun shells and 22 shells. I can teach you how to whistle out of those.
They whistle by your head.
Yeah, I picked those up off a strip mine site when I was biking back from Middlesbrough.
And we got $5 gift cards from Valley Free Market. So there's plenty to do.
River Valley Market?
Valley Free. Okay. See what that promo did to me?
Nope. All flustered. River Valley Market gift cards?
Yep. $5 a piece.
For how much of a donation?
Let's say 10.
Okay, great. Yeah, and if you don't really need anything.
We got two left.
If you don't need or want anything more in life.
You can always pledge.
You can always pledge. Just support the radio station and support people who are.
Pledge your allegiance.
Just support the freedom of the airwaves. People like me who, and like Dwayne, who'd never done anything like this before, have a chance to
just
yak.
Try not to mess up a show.
Yeah, try not to be too annoying. All right. I want to make a couple of announcements. Tomorrow, Thursday, November 17th, is a surge meeting to welcome new members. It'll be from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Edwards Church, 297 Main Street in Northampton. It'll be a place to connect and feel our unity. You'll learn about Surge and how we're working as a multiracial majority for justice and how to plug in. There'll also be a Surge general meeting on Thursday, December 1st at 6:30 at the Quaker Meeting House in downtown Northampton, 43 Center Street. I think there's also an event tomorrow evening at the Jones Library. I got to look it up online. It's another racial justice awareness educational event in Amherst tomorrow evening. All right. So the other thing, if you want to pledge and you want a gift of a half hour pedicab ride or trailer ride, both Annie, my housemate Annie, and I, we can do dual peddlers and trailers. And if two people want to take rides and trailers at the same time, Annie and I will ride you around Florence or Northampton.
How about Williamsburg?
No.
There's a limit, folks.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to be ridden, but you really like to ride a bike, you can ride us around.
Now, there's a deal.
There's a deal. All right. I'm going.
Pedal people excluded.
All right. I think I want to play. I have another clip from Speed and Sprocket Bicycle Works. This was recorded at the.
Otherwise, Pedal Poker Run.
They recorded at the Pedal Poker Run. Yeah.
Otherwise known as Kaboom.
Yeah.
They blew up that tire. They blew up that tire.
Yeah. So the Pedal Poker Run was a fundraiser for Valley CDC. And. Dwayne and I were there doing bike repair check-ins. It was at Look Park, and people were, so people were raising money and biking, and it's called a pedal poker ride because there's different stops along the way. I think there's like 5 different stops along the way, and you pick up cards, and then at the end of the ride, when you come back to Look Park, you look at your hand, And if you got a winning poker hand, then you win something special.
And who put them tacos out? Those are great.
Yeah, Bistro Bus, I think.
Yeah.
They had tacos to eat, veggie and meat tacos. Anyway, that was good. But poor Sean and Liz, they were pumping up someone's tire and boom, kaboom, it just exploded.
ISIS.
All right, here's a little bit from Sean and Liz.
Hi, I'm Liz Budd, one of the owners of Speed and Sprocket Cycle Works.
And I'm Sean Condon, the other owner of Speed and Sprocket Cycle Works and the chapter president of Mass Bike Pioneer Valley.
Liz, tell me about Speed and Sprocket Cycle Works.
So we're a mobile bicycle company, so we do by appointment work, kind of all the basic stuff that you would have a regular bike shop do, except that we will come to your house or your place of work and do it on the spot, so you don't have to leave your bike in the shop for a week.
Mm-hmm. Where are you based?
We're based out of Holyoke, but we go all the way up and down the Pioneer Valley. Mm-hmm. So,
how long have y'all been doing this, and how did the idea come about?
This is our fourth year. We're just wrapping up our fourth year, and I guess the idea came out of wanting to start a shop and sort of a combination of not having enough money to buy an actual shop and wanting to do something a little different that allowed us to connect better with riders and customers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things we do in addition to doing the kind of general maintenance and tune-ups and stuff is we teach maintenance clinics, and we do lots of like specialty rides. Like we have a wine ride in the fall and a wine ride in the spring, and all sorts of stuff like that. And we do the Holy Brattle Oak ride, so fun stuff. So mm-hmm. events and kind of general shop stuff.
What did you do? I'll ask each of you before you like came together and started this.
So I helped found Hubs, which is the Holyoke Urban Bike School now in Holyoke as part of a YMCA program there. And so that's really how I got into cycling and bicycles and bicycle maintenance, was starting that program and teaching kids through the Earn a Bike program how to fix and maintain their own bikes.
And I had been working at other people's shops for 20-plus years and decided to start something on my own.
But can you mention the Bike Valley parking? And
yeah, so in the last couple of years, there's been a growing demand for valet bike parking at valley events. So an increasing number of event participants are coming by bicycle, and instead of just stacking them up here and there, events have Mass Bike come with specialty bike parking racks that we can provide the service for people so they can ride to the event and not have to worry about chaining up their bike or locking it. And when they're done, they can pick up their bike and roll away and not have to worry about traffic or finding their car in the parking lot or anything like that.
What's some of the events that you've done?
This year we have done the Green River Festival. We did a 5-week concert series in East Hampton at Millside Park. Mill Pond Live, I think, was the name of it. Mm-hmm. We did the Abandoned Building Brewery Anniversary Party. We also provided the service at the Springfield Jazz and Roots Festival.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine when people come up to an event like this on the bike, some people might know about it, some people don't know about it. What kind of reactions do you get from people?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who look at us a little bit mistrustfully, thinking maybe we're trying to steal their bike or something because they haven't seen a service like it before. But once they realize that it's free, it's complimentary, provided by the event, and they can just leave their bike and not have to worry about it, most people get really excited about it.
Yeah, I think it totally depends on how much promotion the event itself has put out about what bike valet parking is. But once people understand, oh, it's like a valet, but it's for bicycles, you know, and it is a complimentary service, and we put a tip jar out and all the tips go to Mass Bike. So it raises money for Mass Bike and helps support what Mass Bike does outside of bike parking.
Well, can you talk a bit more about Mass Bike, what Mass Bike does?
So Mass Bike is a statewide cycling organization, a nonprofit geared towards promoting cycling for fun, fitness, recreation, pretty much any use for a bicycle you can imagine. Mass Bike just wants to get people out there pedaling. So on the statewide level, Mass Bike works a lot with Boston to promote laws that protect cyclists. Right now there's a law, I think it's going through the Senate, called the Vulnerable Users Bill. which mandates a minimum passing zone for motorists going by vulnerable road users, so people like cyclists, joggers, construction workers, and that minimum passing zone starts at 3 feet and grows beyond that 3 feet depending on the speed of the vehicle and the roadway. So, you know, passing laws like that that help actually not just cyclists but other people in the state as well. They also work with the Mass DOT, Department of Transportation, on promoting complete streets in the state. So getting communities to incorporate bicycle infrastructure into their design plans when they're designing roads or redoing roads. So that sort of the big picture, that's what they do in Boston. And then the chapters, like the Pioneer Valley chapter, work with individual communities on what they can do to increase or improve their cycling infrastructure, how they can encourage people to get on bikes. This last year, we've handed out a handful of community grants to various organizations, including Pedal People and Rad Springfield. And
oh, I'll mention, look, the grant for Pedal People was we were doing, we've been doing presentations to driver's ed schools about sharing the road with cyclists. What about Rad Springfield?
Rad Springfield is a newer organization that popped up in Springfield this year, which is kind of a community bike shop. They do a lot of pop-up events where, somewhat, sort of like Pedal People, they're offering...
Bike lab.
Yeah, the bike lab. They're offering their services for free to help people work on their bikes and get them back rolling, and kind of empowering people to work on their own bikes.
So you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, and that was an interview with Liz Budd and Sean Condon from Speed and Sprocket Cycle Works, and Sean is president of Mass Bike Pioneer Valley. You're listening to Valley Free Radio, and Democracy Now! Will be coming on very shortly.
And tune in on Friday to My Generation.
Dwayne's in the 70s music show.
Yes.
Feel
Great
free.
Show coming up.
Yeah, and feel free to call in with your pledge to support Democracy Now! And other shows on Valley Free Radio.
Democracy Now! On Valley Free Radio, 103.3 WXOJ LP, Northampton.